The title of my message today is Lessons from My Mother. So I want to honor the two women in my life. My wife, number one. Kelly, if you'll stand, let me honor you. She hates this, but I'm going to do it anyways. And then the person to whom this message is dedicated, my mom, Paulette Phillips. Would you stand up and let us honor you today? You know, I was thinking about this Sunday morning, and I was thinking about, you know, what message to preach. You hate to be cliche on special days, you know, preach on Mother's Day, fathers on Father's Day. We preach on the resurrection on Easter. We preach on the birth of Jesus on Christmas. But being it's only my second year as the lead pastor, I thought it's okay to be cliche. Amen. I was thinking about my mother, and, you know, when you're a pastor's wife, you serve behind the scenes. And you don't often get the honor that your husband gets. And I feel we've done a great job honoring our pastor emeritus over the years. But I don't know that we've honored my mother like we should have. And so that's what today's about. She is the strength behind my father, strength behind me, and really the strength behind the growth of this church for a number of years. She balanced my father. And if he hit you, she'd kiss you, amen? She knew how to serve, and she's really modeled what a great pastor looks like for both of us. And I just want to honor my mom today. Great school teacher for many years, a great mother, a great pastor's wife, a great pastor, a great leader. I had the privilege a few weeks ago of saying the invocation at the superintendent's banquet for all the Hamilton County schools, and I ran into parents of students that received awards that sat under my mother at Sail Creek High School. And they still haven't forgotten you making them all read a book that they refused to read before they could graduate. But they talked about how difficult she was, but how they appreciate it now that they're mothers and now that they're grown. And she was a great teacher. I can remember riding to school in the mornings. We went to school together for a number of years, and we would quote scriptures, and we would sing praise songs, and we would pray together. And I do that with Rice now. I'm better at saying my morning prayers with him than I probably was with my other two, but Rice and I have prayer every morning. And I always think of my mom when we do those things, because she was so diligent and consistent in her prayer life, and she still is. She prays every morning. She reads that Bible every single morning, and she taught me the books of the Bible. She taught me to memorize scripture. She made me go to plays, which I hated, but now I enjoy a Broadway play. But as a child, I didn't enjoy going to them that often. But she's just a tremendous lady. But the Bible talks about what a godly mother ought to look like and what a godly woman ought to look like. And so as I was thinking about what passage of Scripture to use today, what better passage of Scripture than Proverbs 31? So if you have your Bibles or you use your phone, if you'd go to Proverbs 31 with me today, Lessons from My Mother. This passage is written by, I believe, Bathsheba, who is talking to her son Solomon, listed as King Lemuel here. And it sounds like what a mother would say to a son. Anybody with me? First nine verses, or what you might hear from your godly mother or grandmother, says, stay away from wild women. Stay away from intoxicating drink. Leaders don't get drunk. And then it goes on to say, you better stay away from those wild women. They'll ruin you. The Word of God stands forever. Amen. How many of you had a mama or grandmother say to you, those of you who are men in this room, now she's the wrong one. You don't need to marry her. You need to stay away from that drinking. You need to stay away from the drugs. You need to stay away from those kinds of things in your life. And the first nine verses ring true today for many of us. Our mothers have guided us and instructed us the places we should go and the things that we should and should not do. But we get to verse 10, and it says, who can find a virtuous wife. The word virtuous means high moral standards, strong in all her ways. A godly woman is someone who is virtuous, who has high moral standards, who doesn't look like the world, who holds on to her values with strength and dignity and honor. It's a virtuous woman. It says, for her worth is far above rubies. So a godly woman's not only virtuous, they're valuable. If you find one, you better keep her. If you have one, you better honor her. If you were raised by a godly mother or grandmother, you better be thankful, because they are few and far between in the culture we live in nowadays. And if you have one, you better thank God for them. Rubies are more rare than diamonds, and they're more expensive than diamonds. So a godly woman is not only virtuous, they're valuable. Hard to find, worth more than you could ever think or imagine. It says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. When you're in covenant with a godly woman, you don't have to worry about where she is at night.
That's right.
When you're in covenant with a godly woman, you don't have to worry about what she's going to say when you're not around.
Yes, sir.
What she's going to do to and through your children. You don't have to worry about those things, because your heart safely trusts her. She will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Of course, I think about my own mother and how she's honored my father and stood by him through the most difficult of times. I've seen it. Says she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She can make something out of nothing. How many of you had a mama or grandmother who just could take a little something and make a good meal out of it? Could take just a part-time job and make it enough to pay the bills. Somebody say amen. Who could make something out of nothing. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands, you see. It's interesting to me, this passage of Scripture is 3,000 plus years old. However, it doesn't say that a woman has to stay at home and not work. In fact, it honors a woman for being able to take care of her household and work. I don't think God cares whether you stay at home or whether you work or have a career or whether you choose homeschool, private school, public school, whatever it is. God honors all of those decisions. But the idea that a woman that has a career or that knows how to make money should be dishonored is unbiblical. Because in this passage of Scripture, a woman who's an entrepreneur and who's able to provide as well as take care of the household is honored. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. Entrepreneur. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maid servants. Women are better at time management than men. In fact, science tells us that they have more gray matter in their brains and that they were specifically designed and created to be able to juggle more than one thing, to where a man's brain was created to focus on just one thing. How many of you can testify to that? Listen, my wife has a career and she works, and I get to go cool places because of that sometimes. And we got to go to New York City and see our first Yankees game. And before I can even, you can ask Denise Hamm, like, I don't even know what time the flight leaves when I go preach or do stuff till like the day before. And she's already sent it to me, and I'm texting Denise, hey, what time does my flight leave tomorrow? That's how my mind works. Till it's right in front of me, I'm not fooling with it. Kelly had a whole itinerary. Morning, breakfast, walking, where we were going for 3 days. And she nearly killed me. I have never walked so much in my life. I thank God for California, New York City. Hey, islands. But there's no place like East Tennessee for this old boy. I can feel the anointing. When the plane touches down, give me my trees, give me my mountains. East Tennessee is home for me. Now, Kelly would probably live in New York. Not me. 3 days is enough. Somebody say amen. But my wife and my mother both, they could juggle things. It stresses me out just thinking about it. One thing at a time, amen? Time management. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profit, she plants a vineyard. So a godly woman's virtuous, they're valuable, they're vast. They can multitask. They have a wide range of abilities and responsibilities. They are of great importance to the kingdom of God. But next, they're vigilant, determined, strong. It says she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. I believe women are stronger than men. Some of you agree. I know it to be true. Women can stand and grit and get through the most difficult of things. What about childbirth? How many of you men want to sign up for that? Not me. Give me a waiting room with a Diet Coke, amen? She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the staff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. But I love this, verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. The husband makes it to where he's supposed to make it to because of the wife, because of the virtuous, valuable, vast, and vigilant woman. Every time you see a man and you see success, you better believe there was a mother or a wife behind him pushing him. He's known at the gates. And then verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness or laziness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband praises her also. It says, many daughters have done well, but you, girl, excel them all. You women say, that's me. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Heard a quote by Fraud, and it says this, the good mother necessarily fails. The good mother necessarily fails. I want to challenge some of you mothers just for a moment, if I may, with this particular quote. You see, in this culture, we don't want our kids to go to the birthday party by themselves. We overprotect. We feel like we have to hover over our children. But Fraud says that a good mother necessarily fails. Some of you have squeezed the life out of your children and grandchildren. And by doing that, you've not prepared them for life. Because a good mother necessarily fails. The strength of a mother is being able to stand back and watch your child bust their nose, watch your child get picked on, mistreated, pushed away, and be able to pray them through that from afar and watch God mature them into the man or woman they are supposed to be. In order to raise an independent and a successful person, you must allow them to be exposed to a cruel and an unfair world. To a cruel and an unfair world. You've got to allow your child to hurt. In the autobiography about Ray Charles, the King of Soul, depicted so wonderfully in the movie, Ray, shows the little boy once he goes blind, his mother is in the home one day and she's watching him try to learn to walk, and he's falling and he's crying and he's screaming, Mama, Mama, Mama. And she's in there, but she can't let him know she's in there because it's more important that he learn how to tough it out and stand on his own 2 feet than it is her embracing him in that moment of hurt and weakness. And I honor my mom because I'm telling you, she was tough on me. She was strong. She told me who I could be, but she didn't compromise her values, her beliefs, the Word of God, or what she knew I could be for temporary relief in that moment. You see, some of you have enabled your children to the degree that they'll never be what they could have been. And it's time you let them skin their knee. You let them fall. You let them fail. And when they do, you remind them that they are an adult. My mom told me one time, you make adult decisions, you live like an adult. And she stuck to those guns, and I'm better for it. But a woman is not only virtuous, valuable, vast, vigilant, and they're also victorious. Because when you get to the end of your life, mom, grandmom, and your children call you blessed. And when you go to heaven and you're reunited with your loved ones and you're walking in the full blessing of God because of your labor, that's a victorious life. How many of you say, Pastor Ronnie, I want to live a victorious life? So some lessons I've learned from my mom based on this text. The first thing I learned from Paulette was the value of a good wife. I learned how to pick my wife. I didn't know we got married so early. I kind of feel like I won the lottery with Kelly. She didn't think I was going to be very much. I didn't know if she was going to be very much, but the anointing of God and the power of God and the plans of God had all that figured out. But my mom taught me the value of a good wife. I watched her support my father. 1 Peter says, do not let your adorning be external. You see, some of you women, you show too much. You got too much showing, and you're fishing with the wrong bait. If you're a night crawler, all you're going to catch is a catfish. And if you crawl around in the night, you're going to end up with a sorry fish. But if you fish with the good bait, you're going to catch the right kind of fish. And some of you show too much. You ain't going to find no man of God at the club. You found your last one there. How'd that work out? My mom taught me that you ought to dress right. You ought to look right. You ought to smell good. She taught me what to look for. You ought to be strong. You ought not be anybody's slave. You ought to be stubborn and strong-willed. Know how to stand up for yourself. You ought to walk in honor. Don't let anybody push you down. Come on, sir. Come on. And that's what I see in my wife. Don't mess with her. Don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. You'll leave the church. Don't mess with her. The value of a good wife. It says her husband is known at the gates. She taught me how to submit. What submission, biblical submission found in Ephesians 5 looks like. Says the wives are to submit to the husbands and the husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Submission is not a demeaning word. It's the same word used when it says that Jesus submitted to the will of the Father when he went to the cross. It's a willing submission. It's an honorable submission. And the Bible teaches that when a wife submits to the husband, he becomes the crown. She becomes the crown on top of the husband's head. So when you submit, you go higher. It's a biblical principle. When you honor those in authority, you go higher. And the wife is the crown, it says in Proverbs, that sits on top of the head of the husband. Submission, everybody say this with me, submission equals promotion. Next thing she taught me was grit and determination. It says here in our text, she girds herself with strength and she works hard while others sleep. I can remember one time I was younger. I was about 7 years old in the neighborhood I grew up in. Everybody was 4 and 5 years older than me. So I was the runt of the neighborhood. I'd always get beat up, picked at, until I got old enough to fight back. And I did get mine eventually. I think I'm like 3 and 38 in fights growing up. Before I was 12, and then it switched around a little bit. But I would get beat up and messed with and all this stuff. And one day we were shooting some pool at a neighbor's house. And I was a pretty good pool player. And for a kid, the older boys, the teenagers, they were 12. You know, I was 8. they had this idea they were going to lose on purpose to me and get me to bet my most expensive baseball cards, get me to gamble. I had Mickey Mantle. I had some expensive baseball cards. So I won two or three, and they hustled me. I won two or three, and they said, hey, let's go. Why don't we bet? Why don't we bet on this next few games? Started off with small bets, and their whole goal was to get my Mickey Mantle baseball card. And they got it. They won. My mama found out about that, and she ran down the street. They were in a car with their older brother going to the ball card shop to sell my Mickey Mantle card. And my mama stood in the middle of the street, gritted them teeth, that blonde hair. She's told them boys, you get out of that car right now. She got my cards back. I still have them. Amen. She taught me to stand my ground. It's probably, most of y'all think I'm like my dad and I'm named after him. Truth is, I'm a lot more like my mom. My dad, he loses his temper all the time. I don't lose mine all the time. Neither does my mom. But if we lose it, you better watch it. That's why when I ever get upset with the staff, they never get over it, because I don't get upset often. Dad got upset all the time. They were used to it. In one ear and out the other. I get upset, it leaves a wound, you know. Because when I have enough, I have enough. But she taught me to stand my ground. She taught me to stand up, be proud of my last name. I can remember, you know, coming home as a child. You know, I was in and out of elementary schools because our church was going through a major crisis in that time that was in the newspapers and things that we didn't deserve. And I would get in fights at school and get in trouble all the time. My mom would say, stand your ground. I said, Mom, they're talking about my dad. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Don't ever be ashamed of who you are. Stand your ground. So there's a strength in me that I got from her. My mom also taught me to study. That was probably the hardest lesson she taught me. I can remember seeing my sisters sitting in the bed. They were 11 and 8 years older than me, with my mom studying, and them screaming and crying, and her making them do it over and over and over. And then she would do that with me, make me do it over and over and over till I got it. You'd want to just, you know. She taught me to study to show myself approved unto God. She put a high value on education, a high value on reading. We would go on vacation, I would have to read a book before I was even allowed to play. She put a high value on learning. She, like the lady in this text, told me to stay away from worldly lusts and keep my commitments. I didn't always do that early on as a teenager, but she pushed those things. Grit and determination. My mom taught me that some things are better left unsaid. Some things are better left unsaid. In other words, she taught me to keep my mouth shut. And she tried to teach Dad to keep his mouth shut. I can't tell you how many times I would see, because I traveled with them all the time, because I came up later. So I was always with my parents. So much they'd forget I was even there. And we'd get in the car, and she'd say, honey, to my dad, why'd you say that? That's just awful. Don't say that. She taught me that some things are better left unsaid. Our text says she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, my mother was able to grit her teeth through some tough seasons in this church. She's able to sit in meetings and people bashing her husband, her son, her friends, her God. And she was able to just stare them down and speak wisdom and be gentle with people. And that's what a godly woman does. That's why they're valuable and virtuous and vigilant And they end up victorious and called blessed because they know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. How many of you would say, man, my mom, when she was alive, she was the only person that could speak to me and pick me back up? Or grandmama? Many of you. Today's a day where we're to be thankful for that. The next thing she taught me, and I used to hate it when she would say this. I'm talking about absolutely hate this. I still don't like it much. How many of you ever told your mom, Mom, this happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me? And what would they say? Life's not fair. Friends, I want to tell you, it's not fair. Quit trying to make sure your kid gets on every team. Quit trying to make sure your kid gets all the trophies. Quit trying to politic to make sure your kid's the teacher's pet. Quit trying to do everything to keep your kids from understanding the reality that life's not fair. In life, you don't win every game. In life, you don't make every team. In life, children get molested. Children get cancer. People die early. My mom would say, life's not fair. So they're talking about my dad at school. They're talking about y'all. Life's not fair. Life's not fair. Toughen up. I want to tell you as your pastor today, life's not fair. The Bible says in James that he rewards those of us who love him. You may never see your reward on this earth. You may never get fulfillment on this earth, but there are crowns waiting on you in heaven if you'll love God and you'll put him first. But life's not fair. Things happen that I can't explain theologically. Things happen that hurt us, that aren't fair. Let me tell you, we all go through them. Whether you have a mother, you never had a mother, you had a father, you never had a father, you grew up in money, you didn't have any money, inner city, trailer park, third world country, every one of us goes through things that aren't fair. Life is not fair. Lastly, she taught me honor. Honor. As I've said many times, money's the currency of earth, but honor's the currency of heaven. I'm where I am today because of honor. You're where you are today because of honor. If you haven't honored well, you're where you are because of dishonor. If you've honored well, you're where you are because of honor. My mother taught me to honor. She taught me to trust the Lord with my prayers. Our text says she is not afraid of snow for her household. My mom taught me to fear the Lord, not fear the circumstances of this world. To fear the Lord. To trust the Lord with my prayers. She taught me the value of a strong prayer life. She taught me to honor the Lord with my praise. It says in our text, a woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. You trust the Lord with your prayers and you honor God with your praise. Neat things happen in the kingdom of God. She taught me to do what's right even when it doesn't feel right. To do what's right even when it doesn't feel right. Even when you don't want to do it. Do what's right. Do what's right. And God will reward you. He rewards those who diligently seek him. He will reward you, my friend. If you put him first and you do the things that he's asked you to do. Finally, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. That's what honor is all about. She taught me that it doesn't matter who gets the credit. She was good to my father, good to this church, and good to me and my siblings. And she never cared whether she got an award or a lifetime achievement award. She got some accolades. She was Teacher of the Year one year. She was honored. She was always willing to be in the background. She didn't need that, amen? Because she knew who she was in Christ. And when you know who you are in Christ, that he is the vine, that we are the branches, when you know who you are in Christ, that you are a new creation, when you know who you are, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. God gets the glory. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let me say this. My mother loved my father more than us. And that's the way it ought to be. I'm telling you, the whole house could be burning down and they were going to the movies on Friday night. I mean, it didn't matter. The house could literally be on fire and they were going on their date night. Because they understood who they were in Christ and they understood that that marriage bond was more important than anything else other than their relationship with God. Listen, they traveled. They just leave us in a whirlwind. It's a wonder we survived it all. But I tell you, I honor you, Mom. You're the best. But she's the best because of Jesus. Because as a young girl who raised her siblings, who went through some heartache as a teenage girl, started her life very early, still as a young wife, married to a pastor, she got saved. And since she got saved, God's been number one. Marriage is number two. Kids after that. Church four. And that's why I honor her today. But I also challenge you biblically today to be a virtuous woman, to be a woman with high moral standards, to fish with the right kind of bait, to be valuable, to be vast, to do a number of things, to keep your family going. Many of you mothers, you're already doing it, and I honor you. I take my hat off to you, because as I honor my mother, I'm honoring you too. I don't know how you get it all done with your wide variety of responsibilities, but you do it. I don't know how you've survived some of the things that you've been through, but you did it. But the Bible says that when you're nearing the end, your children will call you blessed. And they'll praise you in the gates. And I'm telling you, there are crowns waiting on good mothers. There are crowns waiting on good wives. There are crowns waiting on all of us who put God first. We will be victorious. Yeah, the enemy comes to destroy churches and families and marriages, but no weapon formed against you can prosper. God's already declared you are victorious. You are anointed. You can do it. Maybe you failed. Maybe you weren't a Christian when you raised your children. And this message, all it's done is brought guilt onto you. That's the enemy. The Bible says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This message is to inspire you to put God first, not to beat you up for your past. Why don't you make a decision to put God first, to seek Him first and His kingdom? Why don't you make a decision to be virtuous, to be valuable, and victorious? Bow your head and close your eyes. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't want to close this time we have together without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. My mother was already a pastor's wife when she got saved. She was going through the motions. She was a good pastor's wife when she was younger, but she didn't have Jesus in her heart. And you can do all the right things, but still not be right with the Lord. So I challenge you this morning, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you've got sin in your life, sin means to miss the mark. The Bible says we all have done it. We all do it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, our pastors are moving into position. Just pray this prayer with me if you need Jesus in your life. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me for your glory. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to do something bold. The Bible says, if you'll not confess me in front of men, I'll not confess you in front of my Father. Maybe you've been in church forever, but something's been missing in your life. Be like my mother was as a young pastor's wife. Don't be ashamed. You come and tell one of these pastors, I prayed to receive Jesus. I need to join this church. I need to be baptized. I want to make it public. Or maybe you've been drifting in and out of here, and God's calling you to covenant. God's calling you to connect with Ibis House. You want to join this church. Help us reach people with the gospel. Come tell one of our pastors, I want to come in covenant because I believe this church is committed to making me virtuous, valuable, and victorious. That's you. Why don't you come connect with us? Help us do the work that God's called us to. On this Mother's Day, I can't think of a greater opportunity to put God first. Would you stand on your feet? Heavenly Father, I've been obedient to your word. Lord, do what only you can do in this moment. Move on your people through the power of your Holy Spirit. Touch them, Lord. Teach us to walk victoriously, not with our head down, but with our head up, with strength.